welcome back to the Up North Podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with Kristen Bry and Kirk Bangstead. And our guest this week is Jorna Taylor. Jorna is the Vice President of Development on the Board of Directors for Milwaukee Pride, Inc., which is the all-volunteer nonprofit entity that hosts Pride Fest in Milwaukee every year. And that's our entry into talking about Pride Month in Wisconsin and across the country, the significance of it. And while there are a great many terrible, ugly things still in the world, there's also a little bit of progress being made in terms of recognition and respect and helping people not feel alone. And so we want to get into some of that as well. Jorna, it's nice to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
We're going to try to talk as much as we can about this, because otherwise Kirk wants to take time talking about how you guys met in camp in eighth grade, and we're going to try to
save you from that.
Yeah, if we can do that.
Come on, let's get out of that first. I want to talk about that first.
We'll get to it.
Jorna loved New Kids on the Block.
Oh, here we go.
That was her favorite band.
We're going here. All right.
And we went to this student council camp together, which we both ended up really caring a lot about politics. Jorna's done it for 20 years, I think, in Wisconsin, but along with all the other wonderful things that she does. But she's been very somehow or another planted the seed in eighth grade that, you know, we should try to fix Wisconsin politics, maybe. I don't know. What do you think, Jorna?
Let's be really clear. Every eighth grader wants to go learn about parliamentary procedure and then
here, testify.
I mean, maybe. So, yeah.
We're definitely nerdy. We're definitely kind of nerdy, for sure.
Well, let's find out more about the Milwaukee Festival. What is it, Jorna, that makes it unique in terms of its standing in the country?
Sure. Well, it's not nerdy. It's actually a really good time. Mm-hmm. So Milwaukee Pride, Inc. throws the festival known as Pride Fest in Milwaukee. And it really started in 1988 as a party in the park. Pride stemming from the uprisings in the 60s and most prominently the Stonewall Uprising. That's so famous, you know, where trans women really of color stepped up and started, you know, the first Pride was a riot. And so Pride's stemmed from that sort of social activism. And, you know, not every Pride Fest, it was like it is today, where it was, you know, this like happy celebration of the LGBTQ community. But right. Really, it was a social statement and activism on the part of these folks that were willing to do it. So in 1988, we started having prides in Milwaukee. It was really just this little party, one day, more of a park setting, and we've grown now. So the last Pride Fest that we were able to have in 2019, we are a 4-day festival starting on Thursday nights all the way through Sunday night. Can't say I'm tired by the end of that weekend. And we're lucky that we get to work with the city of Milwaukee, the other ethnic festivals that happen in our city, and we can use the Summerfest grounds, which make us really unique in that we have a secure location to have this safe celebration for our community and our allies and the general public.
And in doing that, again, while it is Milwaukee centered, the fact that it is this Wisconsin event now with an anchor in history and growth, I would imagine that your attendees are hardly from, you know, just Southeast Wisconsin.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you that I have ever just, you know, planned my entire weekend around coming down to Pride Fest in Milwaukee when I didn't live here. We have folks coming from all around, from Chicago, from Minneapolis, from up north. And the really great thing is that it's not just a party. You know, we like to say we throw the party that kicks off summer in Milwaukee in the city of festivals. But there's so much more to it than just putting on a feather boa and sprinkling some glitter around and listening to pretty rad music, although that's really fun too. It's also really important to have a full-on history project. It's important to showcase the local LGBTQ musicians and give them an opportunity to shine. It's important to us that we have local vendors and vendors from around our state that can come together. We have a health and wellness fair where organizations from all across the state can come and talk about the services that they provide for the community. You know, there's just something for everyone, and we're providing it in a space where there's no judgment at all.
And I think that's what's so interesting, is because in the last, what do we want to say, like 5 to 10 years, just like the the capitalist pride takeover of, I literally was in Target today and it's like, oh, here we go. It's a lot of rainbows on clothes. And so the, I think that's especially for straight allies who partake in pride, that it's not, you are welcome, but it is not for you. And just like the things that it is still rooted in activism, and it is still rooted in community and providing support. And it's not just, like you said, throwing on a boa and having a big party. And that, I think that is like such an important part to people who tiptoe their way in and are there for the party, but also an opportunity to learn that, like, especially for younger people who've only become adults in a time that it's been, being in the LGBT community has been largely accepted. And for people who are my age and older, like, that was not the case for their entire lives. And so I think, what have you noticed as far as like bridging generationally after doing this for so long?
Sure. Well, one, I want to address just one thing that you said. There is a corporatization of pride and a monetization, absolutely. But as somebody who raises money to throw what is a $1 million festival that we don't make money on, to be very clear, we dump everything back into it. We need those corporate sponsors to bring that celebration, you know, and sure, we get hit for taking money from, you know, whoever it is that is the hated one of the day. But without those partners, like, we can't have these events. Yeah. And especially as small town, smaller cities and town prides are looking to get up off the ground, we can connect them to some of those partners in their communities too. So they are important. But yes, I also walked into Target today and went, blah, rainbow. It's like so much.
Well, great,
ugly stuff.
Well, Kurt. I think, I mean, Jorna, yes, it can be considered like just like any like rock band that's now in stadiums, people like the people that were there as they were growing up are going to be, well, that's not cool anymore. These guys have sold out. But I mean, the fact that Pride is so popular in the mainstream compared to maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago, like, I think that's kind of amazing. Like, you can't be young these days and see all the rainbows in Target and be like, well, that's kind of cool, you know, or that's normal. Maybe it's not cool because it's in Target now, but at least it's normal. So like any kid growing up is gonna be like, obviously there's a pride parade every year.
Yep. So yeah, so to address your, you know, questions of the evolution, my first Pride Fest was 1996. You know, I was clearly still 12, like I was in eighth grade. but I was in college at UW-Milwaukee, and my friend and I went down, and it was pouring rain, and you know, it was still in a park at that point, and we danced our pants off and had a really great time. And so it has always remained really important to us as the folks who throw Pride that it's not, that we're providing a safe space for sort of the gamut, right? It's not just having, you know, having like the star-studded headliner that is Cher for the folks that, you know, have been out or whatever. I'm sorry about my cats.
Like, it wouldn't be a Zoom call without
And it's, you know, but it's also providing this really important piece of safety and growth for the young folks who are just coming out or just starting to feel comfortable in their bodies. You know, a lot of the shift in cultural change that we've seen over the past 10 years is that more and more young folks are identifying somewhere along the LGBTQIAA plus spectrum. And it's not necessarily just as gay, lesbian, bi. You know, we're seeing a lot of trans kids. My future wife works for the for Courage MKE, which is the state's first LGBTQ group home. And a majority of the kids that come in and out of there are trans. And so we're just sort of seeing an overall shift in the comfort level too. So we have to adapt to make sure that's a safe space too.
So for the progress that's been made, and it has been a very nice thing, but when you mentioned, for example, the trans community and young people, and at this very moment, there is legislation moving through the Capitol and a particularly grotesque hearing recently on these anti-trans bills that tell you that from lofty legislators who are holier than thou down to the bullying level, you know, in your hometown, there is still work to be done.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't sum it up much better than that, other than to say these legislative attacks are straight up bullying. They're bullying children. Grown adults are bullying children. And it's so disappointing. Sorry, my cat is knocking things off the table. It's really incredibly disappointing that we're distracting from the issues that actually are facing our state, like healthcare disparities and joblessness and things like that. And instead we're bullying kids who are just trying to figure out who they are.
Tell us about dealing with the pandemic and especially looking forward. You know, we've talked about proof of vaccinations. We've talked about providing vaccinations. Are there things that we should be looking for at Pride Fest this year that truly keep the pandemic in mind?
Sure. So unfortunately, being an all-volunteer organization, we work on this year-round, and it's my other full-time job that I just make no money for. It's great. But it's a true labor of love. It takes us a full year to plan. We start planning the weekend after we hold the festival. And so we were well into the planning for last year's festival when the pandemic hit and we determined that we couldn't host it. But this year, by the time the restrictions were lifted, there's no way we could do justice. And we also took a step back and said, and took a look at the community we serve. And there are gross health disparities across the LGBTQ communities of color, especially among trans folk. And so access to healthcare and vaccines and all of the things, we didn't feel that we could justify trying to throw something together that would leave out potentially a large portion of our community. That's not what's inclusive about Pride, and that's not providing a safe space. But that being said, we are going to hopefully do something coming up this fall, everything permitting and the stars all align and the things. So it won't be a full 4-day festival, but it will probably be something.
Well, that's great. And I'm, as someone who lives in Milwaukee, I'm excited to see have you able to do something later this fall. I think that's actually really interesting because so much of the news has focused on vaccine hesitancy and kind of talking about the people who don't want the vaccine. And I think there is this overlooking certain communities that are still having a hard time even accessing it for things that we take for granted of the convenience that I'll talk for myself to go get the vaccine. And so what do you think the average Wisconsinite should know about some of the communities that are still like, it's not just going to your, like driving to your Walgreens and getting it.
Right. I mean, you live in Milwaukee. I live in Milwaukee. You can get places, but there are a lot of other barriers for marginalized and historically underrepresented communities, as we all know, that they can't, that they may not feel comfortable and may not have anything that, you know, is proof of ID that has their gender on it. And the sort of like things that, you know, you and I present as a woman, I use she, her, hers, you know, all of the things. I don't have those sorts of barriers. And so there's a whole another level of health disparities that we just have to acknowledge.
Yeah.
So, Jorna, we are the Up North News podcast, and we're going to go to a break pretty soon. But I just wanted to, you know, think about, obviously, Pride in Milwaukee is a destination, but what would you advise communities maybe up north in Minocqua or Rhinelander if they wanted to do something? Like, how do they start this? You know, how do they get it off the ground?
Absolutely. So my folks live in Door County, and Open Door Pride is going on to its, I think, fifth year now this year. And it is a community gathering in a park. I've attended. It's fantastic. It is a few committed citizens, you know, like the quote, it's a few committed citizens that are willing to get together and talk to a couple of local sponsors, like, you know, maybe folks in Minocqua who are friendly, to kick a little cash to get the permits for them. And it's putting yourselves out there. And that's the hardest part about all of this, is that you have to put yourself out there and face potential bullying and harassment. But also, when you're there and you see that young folks and old folks alike are coming together, it's so worth it. I cry every time.
Jorna, thank you very much for that. And again, we look forward to hearing what might be coming up in the fall. And as you put it, for 2022, a full-on rainbow star-studded festival. So, Jorna, thanks for the time. We greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be back. Jorna. You're up north.